Welcome, everyone, to Rock'em Nation Podcasts. This is going to be an episode of Bench Minutes. My name is Sam Snelling. With me, as usual, is everyone's favorite former Tiger and my co-host, Jarrett T. Sutton. Jarrett, how are you?
I'm good, Sam. Thanks for having me. It's been a little while since we last talked. Excited for basketball season to get here. Won't be too long until we start practice.
We are like counting down the minutes, you and I think.
That's right. We are. I think it's the 24th is official practice, and I know guys are, it's so different than when I played, right? It's like these guys get so much practice time now before they even start practice officially. So
yeah, because you're like an old man now.
I know, man. I'm in the old category. Everything gets better when you leave. We've talked about this before. It's just everything gets better. I don't understand it.
Yeah. I think I've got like 10 years on. Did you just, turned 30, right?
I'm 31 now.
Oh, 31. So there is
taking 1 year off.
Yeah, there is a full 10 years between us. I am 21. Just became eligible to drink alcohol. I'm very excited about it.
I have to tell the story. I went to the Mizzou football game on Saturday, and I'm walking into the stadium. I see Coach Pinkle. I go up, shake his hand, say hi to him. And the first thing he asked me is, do you have any eligibility left? And I thought, you know, Coach, I appreciate that. You know, you're making me feel young. I don't have any eligibility left, but it was just good to get around Coach again and him just kind of talking shop. That was a lot of fun.
I feel like you're a youthful 31. Like you have a little bit of a baby face, and
I would say, yeah, I'd agree with that probably. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I've been growing the beard out, so I'm doing my best like Spencer Hall impression. I've got the long beard. I'm pretty ragged. Everyone's just like, yeah, you look 41 now. I'm like, oh, thanks. That's a compliment. But we're not here to talk about our appearances, Jarrett.
I was just going to say, I can't even grow a beard, so let's not even talk about it.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I think it was, I think I was probably in my early 30s before I was really able to grow something that resembled a beard. My big problem was I had a lot of issues growing a mustache. And now my mustache kind of comes in pretty decent, so I stick with the beard.
Nice. I have buddies that are like losing hair on top, but they can grow a perfect beard. So I always tell them, at least my hair's staying intact on top, but I just can't grow the beard yet.
Yeah, if you're going to pick one, it'd be to keep the hair on top, right?
I think so. Although I think the beard looks good. Beard game's always, I'm envious of, I guess. So, but hey, maybe one day it'll actually connect and I'll be able to grow something.
Oh, we can always hope and be hopeful. So
enough about my beard game, though.
So Missouri basketball is a thing. Yeah, so we're fully in the sort of preseason mode where everybody's on campus. All the players are doing, you know, very regular workouts. The coaches are able to sort of get in there and participate with them, you know, and sort of run these like semi-practice things where they're doing a lot of teaching and whatnot. We're still a little ways from the season, and I actually think this week we're probably going to get our SEC schedule, which to me kind of really kicks off, you know, the preseason, because that's when I really sort of hamper down and start writing my previews. But overall, so the off season, I guess we could say, is wrapped up. Would you consider this like a successful off season for Missouri? I know that there wasn't a whole lot of movement recruiting wise. They did sign Kobe Brown late. They got Axel Okongo late. Was this a successful offseason for Konzo Martin?
I think so. I mean, no, not a lot of movement really on the recruiting front. You know, it was good that Caleb Love was on campus this last weekend. It is good that Konzo is very much in play for some top-level guys, even though Cameron Fletcher didn't end up working out. But, you know, I think that just the fact that Konzo is continuing to really make St. Louis an important piece of his recruiting process, and you know, making that very much a part of what he's trying to build is important. You know, even if he is missing out on these guys, and I think this is by far the biggest year for Konzo Martin. Outside of the first year where it was the Michael Porter situation that that was great, and it really kind of gave the fan base some life and some energy after what was a really treacherous run of losing basketball. And it felt like there was this positive momentum. And although the Michael Porter situation didn't work out, and even Jonte last year with the injuries, he's still shown well in what he's trying to build and what his program's going to be at a foundational level. But I think when you look at this offseason, I think a lot still remains to be seen once we start practice and once that preseason and those first couple games start out before they go to the Hall of Fame Classic here in Kansas City, which I think will be a good test for them right out of the gate. But I'm really excited to see, most importantly, this freshman class that will be sophomores this upcoming season, in Torrance Watson, Xavier Pinson, and Javon Pickett, just because we saw some good signs from them last year, and they got to take some significant strides forward into that sophomore class. And talking about just building back programs, you have to have classes and guys that are returners and guys that can take significant steps forward. And I would put Jeremiah Tillman in the same conversation. I mean, I think Jeremiah is older, obviously. I think he understands what's in front of him and just being able to stay on the floor. That's probably the most important piece, because I think Jeremiah can be such an impact player in the SEC. So it all depends on how these guys really transform themselves and how they develop. Because, yeah, you do have a Mario McKinney coming in, a Trey Jackson coming in. Those guys have a chance to really give you a lot of lift as freshmen, whether it be off the bench or starting, whatever it might be. But they got to look up to some people. And is that sophomore class going to be able to take that leadership role? And is Jeremiah Tillman going to be there? And how does Mark Smith and Drew Smith grow? I think Drew Smith has a chance to have really an impact on this team right out of the gate. And I think you would agree with that, just with his ability to not only handle the ball, to shoot the ball, but I think he's someone that Konzo is really going to depend a lot on as we turn the page into the 2019-2020 season. So a lot to be uncovered, I guess, if you will. It's all about player development and players taking a step forward. I think Konzo's showing he's wanting to have an ability to play multiple lineups, to have an offense that has shooters all around the floor and still have a big man presence, but having quick athletic versatility and being able to play different lineups. Even though, yeah, I would like for them to have a little bit more size, they still got some good speed, they got some good athletic ability, and what we saw last year is if they can stay healthy, they got guys that can shoot the ball and make outside shots, which is really important in today's day and age with this game and where it's going.
So you kind of mentioned Jeremiah Tillman. He's a guy that I wanted to kind of hone in a little bit and focus on a little. Mainly because, I think, I don't know if you read C.J. Moore's piece in The Athletic. I'm always a big fan of C.J. and his writing. I think he does a good job of really kind of breaking down and getting granular into each team. But Jeremiah Tillman is such a key for Missouri, and one of the things that he pointed out is while defensively Missouri is always going to be good with or without Jeremiah Tillman on the floor, the difference is offensively and what he's able to do as far as changing the angles of the court. Missouri with Jeremiah Tillman on the floor shot 39.4% from the 3-point line. With him off the floor, it was just 33%. And that's a significant number for people who aren't aware. And I think you realize that, Jarrett, that anytime you're knocking on the door of 40% shooting, and that's with a guy who's not taking 3-point shots. That's just what he does with the floor. So, and I also I sort of ran a stat. I don't remember it quite off the top of my head, but in games that Jeremiah fouled, I think it was like either four or five fouls, he averaged like 11 or 12 minutes per game as a freshman. And that number last year was actually closer to 20 to 23 minutes, I think. So if he's a guy who's going to be able to learn to stay on the floor, what sort of ceiling does he help create for this Missouri program?
Well, I think that point CJ made in his piece is right, because for me as a guy that values what it means to be a 3-point shooter, having you know, the experience of playing with guys that could really shoot the ball and playing on teams at Missouri that had to have the three-point shot. But in order to have the three-point shot, your big men make a lot of that happen, whether it be screening or just their presence and movement in the painted area and really what you're doing within offensive sets to have some level of trust that, you know, the defense has to be honest. They can't just play you for the three-point shot. They're also going to guard the painted area. They're going to guard the perimeter. And when you have a guy that you can throw the ball inside to that can draw some attention, that you can play off of, that I think an underrated part of Jeremiah's game is his ability to make passes out of the block. Now, sometimes, you know, he doesn't fake one, throw one. He'll try to pass through double teams or extended, you know, arms that are closing out on him in that low block or in the short corner. He gets in trouble there. But he's such a presence on the floor. And I think above all else, the best time for a three-point shot is off an offensive rebound. And of Jeremiah's, I think he had over 180 rebounds last year. He had 74, I believe, that were on the offensive glass. And that's important. I mean, you got to have a presence on the offensive glass. And Jeremiah is smart enough. He's getting better. It hasn't come all the way to fruition, but he's getting better at thinking the game and not just trying to be, you know, a bull in a china shop where he's throwing his body around. He's a strong player. He's physical. He's got a high motor. I love that about him. But it's also making the right play and the right read and being able to give your team extra possessions. I think all of that helps Missouri shooting the ball. And you got to have a team that can make outside shots. We saw that in the Kim Anderson era. They could not make outside shots. It was a real problem. It's why they struggled so much on offense. But when you have a guy that you can throw the ball inside to that knows that he can work it back out and he can actually score on single coverage, the defense has to give up something. So I think it just keeps the defense honest. And really what I want to see from him next year, he's always had great feet. He runs the floor very well. He has all the tools to be an impact player on the offensive end and defensive end. I think he's a good shot blocker. The key is playing solid defensively, not picking up cheap fouls in the pick and roll defensively. That's an area he's got to get his hips down. He's got to get lower. He has to move laterally better. He can't come up overly aggressive and not low because guards see that. And he gets a lot of blocking calls. He gets fouls that he gets very frustrated with. But it's just thinking the game through and taking the next step. And coaches can be on him, and he can watch film, and he can do simulate it in practice. But when the lights come on, he has got to continue to take that preparation to the game. There's too many times where he loses his cool. I go back to the Tennessee game right out of the gate last year in conference play when he picked up a technical foul in the first 5 minutes. And I know for a fact that on that Tennessee scouting report going into that game, they were talking about getting into Jeremiah Tillman's head, you know, making him pick up cheap fouls, being physical with him, trying to be over-aggressive, not cheap-shotting, but trying to be overly physical with him to try to rattle him a little bit. And that's where Jeremiah's got to take a step forward. It's the mental toughness side of this. I'm okay with him from a skill set standpoint. He has shown enough where I think he can really be a dominant threat in the league at his position. It's just putting everything together from the mental toughness component of this, but then also thinking the game through, thinking through it a step ahead, right? Seeing a play develop. All those things that come with slowing the game down as you get older, that's the step that Jeremiah is going to really have to take to help this team.
So one of the off-season marketing, I guess is the right way to say it, things that Missouri has sort of done on Twitter is they've sort of monikered themselves as Big Guard U, which it's fine. And I'm not usually bothered by these sorts of little things that that any program wants to take on. And if you look at Missouri, they certainly have a lot of, you know, big guards who are capable of being physical. You look at Drew Smith, Mark Smith, you think Torrance Watson could certainly, fit into that mold of guys who are, 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", and all capable of being physical. But what you sort of do is create a focus on what I think are probably going to be the two most important guards, and that's Drew and Mark. And they are bigger guards. They're more physical guards. They're both sort of capable of handling primary ball handling duties. So I want to sort of talk about what those guys will mean to Jeremiah. Because one thing I think that Drew Smith is going to be really good at is pick and rolls. And I'd like to see I'd like to see Martin and his staff get Jeremiah Tillman in that game a little more, because I think he could be really effective as a role guy, and sort of crashing down towards the basket, as opposed to solely sort of being that, you know, plant him on the on the block and you know, try and enter the ball in from the wing. So what do you think of the impact that that Drew Smith can kind of have, and Mark Smith a little bit as well, on Jeremiah as this become, you know, a little bit more of a focal point with the ball?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, I think playing out of the pick and roll, but ultimately getting Jeremiah off the block, off the initial action into their primary half-court offense. So Jeremiah's posting up on the block, and they're trying to run a set to Jeremiah. He's being overplayed. There's this level of standing and trying to force a post pass into the low block from a guard, or that play breaking down because they're not getting that look. They're not getting that post entry pass. Teams scout you. So what's your next step, right? What's the next counter in that set? And that's Jeremiah coming off the block. And this is something we did with Ricardo Ratliff back in my era with Marcus and Phil and Mike. Was if the first initial post entry pass, the one Mississippi, two Mississippi, it should be in not just the guard's mind, but the post player's mind as well, that we're right into our counter. And that is side pick and roll. You can do a lot of things off of a side pick and roll. There can be a slip there. I mean, there's a lot of different wrinkles you can put into your offense that can just create angles and create space. The biggest thing with this, to where I think Konzo hasn't maybe implemented those things, is trusting Jeremiah, is trusting that, look, if there's a side pick and roll and a double comes and a guard has to give the ball up and they give it to Jeremiah, is he going to make the right decision? Is he a guy that can make the catch, turn and face and find a shooter in the corner? Or is he going to catch and run over someone? Can he be trusted with catching the ball and putting your big men in, I guess, positions to be successful? Because especially when Jeremiah is so valued and there is this hold your breath every game of, we can't allow him to get in foul trouble, I think that seeps into guard's mindset, and I do think that is a thing. When I look at Drew and Mark, though, I mean, Mark took such a great step forward in just being a complete player from when he got to from Illinois to that first year now with Mizzou. Not just being a shooter, I mean, we did see him be a lethal knockdown outside shooter, but what I was so impressed with was his ability to go rebound on the defensive end and offensive end. He was physical. He didn't give up on plays. I really just love his mentality the whole season. It was unfortunate he had the injury, but I was impressed with Mark, and I think he had a strong showing of what he's capable of being next year. It's the same mentality, right? You got to take even another step. I still think there's ways Mark can improve. It is getting to the rim. It's creating contact. It's decision-making. When you put the ball on the floor, it's shot faking. It's having your feet ready, using more flare screens, curling more. There's a lot of different actions I think Mark can even get better at to help open him up a little bit more, maybe getting him to the rim and not falling in love with that outside shot. And I'm okay with the big guard discussion and the marketing. I'm okay with that. But here's the deal. They're going to be going up against length, right? I'm okay with big guard you. They got some strong presence as far as guards that are physical, that are tough, and I love that. But they are going to go up against guards that have length and have size and have quickness and have, you know, the ability to play above the rim. And I think that, to me, is where these guards are going to have to show Konzo and show not just, you know, themselves, but the league, that they're going to be able to make quick decisions. Because that's one of the things in the areas of their offense that sometimes can be frustrating for me, is the sense of over dribbling or trying to create or not getting that pass, whether it be a post-entry pass or a pass that's taken away in their offense. And then it's sort of everyone look at themselves and try to go one-on-one and play an isolation ball. That's when Missouri can be bad. When they're really good, it's quick passes, it's quick decisions, it's playing out of transition, it's pushing the pace, it's having a pass-first guard. I think Drew is going to bring a good dynamic with that, being able to push in transition. We'll see what happens with Xavier Pinson and the growth that he can make. I think he showed some really good signs last year. And then Torrance Watson is a guy that I'm just circling as a guy that had some great moments last year in league play that just is right there on the cusp of jumping over that hurdle and really starting to become a guard that other teams in the SEC are really going to have to hone in on. And that's what they need, right? They need a guy that can have Torrance has got a 6'5" that can go do some things with the basketball and get in the paint and finish. And he showed that he's got the ability to knock down shots as well. So it's good when you have multiple shooters. It's good that they got some size with Trey Jackson and a guy like Okongo. I think that's great. Kobe Brown, yes, you got some size there. But you also got some guards that can take a step forward, that they can continue to share and push and make quicker decisions within their half-court structure on offense. They can still beat teams if they can make outside shots and have the ability to have an inside presence. But it's all going to start with Mark and Drew, to your point, because those guys have shown that they can really play at a level that impacts the game on both ends of the floor. And ultimately, that outside shot is really what's gonna open up their offense.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, so I'm interested in like the big guard you, because I'm all for getting, you know, big physical guards. I think that's it's a good way to be able to win in college basketball if you have, you know, like more physical, older guards who are capable of you know, being strong and taking care of the ball and shooting the ball well. But one thing that I think I associate with, and I think you would probably agree, and I'm hoping that Drew Smith can kind of help this team out from this aspect, is finishing around the rim. I think you look at Torrance, and you can maybe sort of give him a little bit of an asterisk because he was a freshman. Same thing with Javon Pickett. I think Xavier Pinson was actually really pretty good around the rim when he wasn't maybe, you know, forcing a few things. But Mark Smith wasn't really good around the rim, and overall Missouri as a team was not very good around the rim. Whereas you insert a guy like Drew Smith, who is known for being a finisher and having a really high true shooting percentage while he's at Evansville, and you sort of hope that translates to Missouri's offense, because if Missouri was getting the ball into Jeremiah Tillman on the block and he's able to kick out, like, Missouri's raining three-pointers and they're able to, you know, hit open looks with anybody. It was when you had to kind of get those guys moving that they really struggled. And I'm kind of hoping that we can see this big guard you moniker sort of translate into being a more efficient team around the basket.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, those players you name, right, when you come from high school to college, the speed of the game, it can hit you right in the face. But I think the biggest thing is a lot of these guys, let's take Torrance Watson, for example. I mean, an elite scorer in high school, right? The guy filled up the stat sheet and just was a player that everybody looked at as, man, he's going to come right in here and really perform at a high level. And it took him quite a while. I mean, that early on in non-conference play, he had some solid moments. He had some moments where Konzo couldn't put him on the floor. And I go back to some practices that I was able to go to early on before that season even started, and they were stressing with Torrance Watson, you must guard, you must defend. And to CJ's point, you know, Missouri's program with Konzo has always been is you will play defense, number one. It doesn't matter what position you're at, you have to play defense. So I think that's the first thing that a freshman has to learn is, wait, I can't just go out on this floor and just roll the balls out and think that I'm just going to go dominate a game when the speed's different, the athleticism is different, especially in the SEC. And finally, some of these players like Torrance Watson, like Xavier Pinson, started to break through a little bit, right? And yeah, there's a level of understanding how to score around the rim, because in high school, you fly in, you get contact, you try to use your athleticism. There's no, you know, skill really going on. You're just trying to play physical. And you have to realize now, when you get to be a sophomore, it's all about combo finishes. Can you finish off one foot? Can you finish over the top? Can you hit a floater? Can you use the glass softly? Those are all things that make you a better player, because it's a different speed. You're at a different level. You're playing against guys 6'6", 6'7", and you might be undersized. You got to find a way to finish, and you can't just depend on trying to create contact to get to the free throw. And there is a time and a place for that. But I think that's kind of the learning curve you go through as a freshman. And it was good to see each of those freshmen have good moments. Even Javon Pickett, who I think had struggles, and yeah, the free throw shooting and, you know, things that he can really improve upon. The reason why Javon Pickett is loved by the staff is what he brings in other areas of the game. His work ethic, he communicates, he fixes things defensively, he'll take a charge. He does all, he's an unselfish player that you have to have on the floor. But Javon's got to take that step forward as well. That they have to be able to make the right reads and the right decisions and be able to finish some of these shots around the rim that they really struggled with a year ago. So it is all a work in progress. It's all about that skill development and really trying to focus in on, you know, playing physical, but also playing with skill, having a layup sequence, being able to use the rim to protect yourself. Phil Press used to do this all the time. I like going back to the former guys that I played with because it was fun to watch them evolve and grow and develop and understand that they weren't the biggest guy on the floor, but it didn't mean that they had to just fall suit and go away from what got them success. They had to continue to develop that skill set and use different layup packages and spins on the ball, all those things you work on in the summer period. That's when you really develop as a player. So I go back to my original point of player development, growing your skill set, growing your game, and you can't be the same player you were a year ago. And you know Konzo's drilling that into them. You know the identity of their program is going to be defensively, but you got to show some growth from a skill standpoint and can't be the same player you were a year ago. That's at any level. That's in college. That's in the NBA. You got to keep making steps forward and then ultimately, you know, really trying to come into your own and fulfill a role on your team. And there's a lot of guys that can play a significant role for this team next year.
So I've been doing a little bit of a previewing of Missouri's non-conference schedule, and I'm not through it, but I'm probably two-thirds of the way through it as far as you know, the release of these previews. But it's a challenging schedule while still being something that I think Missouri can. There's no game that stands out to me as a game that Missouri doesn't have the ability to win. And I say that, so there might be a few toss-ups. Maybe they're on the on the short side of the odds on a trip to like Xavier or something like that. But there's a realistic expectation that this is a non-conference schedule that Missouri could get through with maybe one or two losses and still kind of be okay there. So. Are there any sort of pitfalls to the non-conference schedule that you're seeing, or how are you sort of looking at what they should kind of be able to achieve coming out of that?
Yeah, I think their non-con, it's competitive, it's winnable games. I touched on the Hall of Fame Classic with Butler, Oklahoma, and/or Stanford. That's good competition, winnable games for sure, games that are competitive. And good tests early on in that non-conference slate. And you look at true road games too, going to Temple, going to Xavier. Those are good games. And again, games that are winnable for Missouri, but they're true road games. And that all leads in obviously to Illinois around the holidays. But, you know, you look at just the West Virginia game at West Virginia with the Big 12 Challenge, that's going to be a tough place to play. So they're going to be challenged for sure, but I think that's something that Konzo is wanting is when you look at the schedule and you look at, you know, their schedule last year, trying to get some true road games, also trying to get, you know, into some competitive preseason tournaments and really, you know, trying to grow in non-conference play. Missouri's got a chance, you know, to really do some damage in the SEC if they can take the steps forward. There are some good teams that in the SEC, but I still think this is a year where Missouri can find themselves in a top five, top six, top seven type of league if they do their what they're supposed to do. If they take steps forward, if freshmen, you know, kind of come into their own during league play. But it all starts in non-conference play. It all starts with these games early on. I think Wofford at home is a good one. That's right after that Xavier game, so you're coming back home. You play a Wofford team that's had some good experience. They've had some good players come through that program. So I think it's a good non-conference schedule in that it's competitive, but it's also games that are winnable, and it's games that we're going to find out a lot about their team early on, and they're still going to have challenges all the way through that non-conference slate leading right into SEC play.
But they're still going to win bragging rights, right?
I would hope so, right? That's the one you got to circle. I think that's a have to, right? That's a must.
Yeah, we got to turn Illini's most recent streak into a streak of our own here and rattle off like six or seven straight against Brad.
Yeah, I was you know, fortunate enough to be on the team that broke that streak. We wanted to break it as a freshman with Damari's team, but you know, being able to break that and then start a little run of our own was nice. But you know, you talk about that win last year, even going back to the Illinois win in St. Louis last year. I mean, there was, Mizzou fans were excited. I was excited. They played really well. Jeremiah was I think I call it the flu game. He was really good in that game. But then it just didn't really build from there. It was one of those things where they got hit right in the mouth in league play, and I don't think it wasn't a factor of not being ready. But it is different when you go from non-conference play to league play. You're in the family. It's totally different. I say that every year.
Well, also, they opened with Tennessee, too, didn't they?
They opened with Tennessee.
Like, that's a pretty brutal way to open conference play.
But if you remember, too, I mean, they were competitive with Tennessee through that first 10, 12 minutes, and that was without Jeremiah, and then they just, you know, ran out of gas. And Tennessee was fantastic in that game, and defensively, it was so obvious that they were going to be an elite-level program that year in college basketball. It was a strong, obviously, year for Tennessee with the league's, you know, best player in Grant Williams. So not how you would ideally want to start league play, but also, you know, a good challenge right out of the gate at home. I think that's what Konza's trying to really drive home with this program. It doesn't matter who you're playing. It doesn't matter the level of opponent. Every game is a new game, and it's a game that is winnable. It's a game that you prepare for. It's a game that you have to come with the level of focus, and it's not looking too far ahead. It's looking right at that opponent and taking it one game at a time. And I think with young players, you lose a couple games, it can really affect you. You go on the road, a true road game for the first time, you might not respond. That adversity is going to be there. It's what you really learn about your team is how you respond to that adversity. I think that's what Konza is trying to drive home to take this program to the next level is fighting through these setbacks and having these young players that, you know, whether it's foul trouble, whether it's missing shots, whether it's turnovers, whether it's being pulled because of defense, you know, all those things, it's things that happen, right? Players go through struggles. It's getting through those and really coming together as a team to compete in these games and have, you know, have an ability to win a game late and be in games. And I thought they were better last year. They still got to find ways to close games out, to take care of the basketball. We can talk about that LSU loss at home all day last year that they didn't close. Those are games that coaches will watch film on throughout the summer, throughout the fall period, because those are games that keep you up at night. Mm-hmm. And it should as a player, too.
So as we're kind of getting down to the nitty gritty in the podcast here, I want to kind of hit on a couple more points. But going into this season, we don't quite have a clear picture on what the SEC schedule is going to look like. We know who the opponents are going to be, but what is the one thing that you really want to see this team sort of accomplish? I don't mean like from a make the NCAA tournament type of thing. Like what is like the one thing you're looking for out of Missouri this year?
I think with Missouri, it's going into this year looking at it as, you know, last year with the Jonte injury that took place before the season even started, you know, it really, I don't think it was necessarily something that took this team off course, but it was very clear that losing Jonte was a huge part of what they were going to be on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively. Jonte was their best player. He was a guy that really was going to help them a lot. He was going to help the freshmen grow. He was going to take some pressure off of Jeremiah Tillman. He was going to take pressure off the guards. He was a focus as a returner. And now you look at it as, you know, you don't have really a staple player returning. You got some good players. You got a player in Jeremiah Tillman that has so much potential that the league knows about. but there's this unknown with him of what really is he going to be? Is he going to be able to get through this period to where he can be counted on, where he can be a significant player for this team? So I think with this year's team and really what to look for early on in the year, it is just some growth across the board from these guys of, number one, improvement from a skill standpoint, but trying to look at it from an area of this team now has an identity offensively as much as it does defensively. Because I think Konzo has gotten the point across that he's going to have a blue-collar, tough, gritty defensive team. That's great, and that's something you build on. But you do have to put the ball in the hole, and you do have to have weapons offensively, and you do have to have a guy you can go to then go get you a bucket. And Missouri really didn't have that last year. Is there a guy that's going to take that step forward to be that guy? Is it going to be Torrence Watson? Is it going to be Mark Smith? Is it going to be Drew? Will it be Jeremiah? I mean, you got to have a guard that can be a player that can compete and that can be that guy late in games. But I just hope that this team can show some sort of growth and some sort of identity on the offensive end. Because, yes, defense is important, and, yes, Konzo stresses it, but there has to be a level of consistency offensively. And they shot the ball really well last year. That was a great sign. But when adversity hit, when they went up against superior competition, it felt like a little bit of a deer in the headlights that we weren't, you know, Missouri wasn't ready for those type of games. They weren't ready for that type of moment. And that's a sign of youth, and that's okay. You didn't have a player like Jonte that has been in those moments that really has the skill set and the talent and the size to do it in the SEC. Now you got some pieces, you got some young players, you got some guys that are returners, and you got a guy that can really be a focus in the interior on the offensive end, defensive end. Where's that growth going to come from? That's what I want to look for before I look at competition, before I look at SEC play. It's got to be right out of the gate to see some growth of what this team can really be. And knock on wood, if you're with me, to steal a John Gruden quote, hopefully they can stay healthy. I want that for Konzo. I want that for this group to just stay healthy throughout the year. You're going to have those nicks and those minor injuries and those tweaks, but to stay healthy is really important for this group. They've had a summer together. They've been working hard in the weight room with Nicodemus. I've seen some significant growth there from just a body and physical standpoint. That's going to help them a lot. And this big guard you mentality, if that toughness has to be both physically and mentally. That's the way I look at this team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with a large swath of that, if not all of it. So kind of the last thing before we get out of here, Jared, is I know that you're a pretty positive guy when it comes to the overall direction of the program. Mm-hmm. I know that you really like what Konzo's doing and implementing. Over the course of, we'll say, the next 5 years, where do you think Missouri is in 2024 as a college basketball program? Is Konzo putting in the bricks right now that you think is enough in order for this team to go from maybe a team that competes on a fairly regular basis for the NCAA tournament, which is sort of what the program has been really since like the mid-90s. Like, this has been a team that has had a few high moments, but is he putting the necessary bricks into place for this team to take another step and not just to be a team that fights to get into the NCAA tournament, but to be a team that is perennially considered, maybe not a favorite in the SEC, but even if it's a year where they've had a lot of roster turnover, where they're still thought of in a way that maybe like, you know, Auburn and Tennessee are kind of at this point moving into this upcoming season? Like, is Konzo doing enough right now to sort of make that the case in 5 years?
I think he has done enough, but the key is, you know, the proof's in the pudding, right? And I hate to be cliche with that, but when I look at Konzo's Tennessee teams, right, and I look at that third year, and I go back and I kind of read up on, you know, what those teams were when he was at Tennessee and where he was at when that situation went down, where he ended up, you know, leaving Tennessee for Cal. You know, he had really taken a class and developed some players to where Tennessee was in a really good place as far as player development was concerned. And he had some guys that came in together as freshmen that had some bumps in the road, that struggled as freshmen, that had, you know, similar to what Missouri went through last year and in Konzo's first year with some younger players. Now, the first year, I look at Cassius Robertson, Jordan Barnett, some veteran guys that were really good and really hit on, I think, really right out of the gate, such a positive direction for Konzo. They made the NCAA tournament. I mean, Cassius was such a home run get, ended up being one of the better players in the SEC and one of the better three-point shooters in the league. They needed to have that. It took pressure off Jordan Barnett. Barnett could be himself. And then obviously Jonte came through in a big way. And that was great for the program right out of the gate. Last year, I think there was some setbacks. I think there was moments of growth. This year is such a big year because I think it's really the year where you look at what Konzo's going to be. And he's been able to get some guys. He's been able to get guys from St. Louis. He's hit on some players in Chicago. He's got some guys that have transferred in, some guys that have decommitted from other programs that have come to Missouri that he has been in the past. And I think that's all positive. That's all good, a good sign for Konzo, the staff, and the direction of the program. But where it goes from here, it's like anything. You just keep building and building and building. And at Missouri, you have to build classes, and you have to build it the right way. You had Michael as the one and done. Even Jonte was in, you know, this NBA draft discussion last year. And it's unfortunate how those situations went down. But now Konzo's got what he wants in place, right? He's got his guys. He's got the players that he recruited. He's got players that can really make an impact on this roster. And moving forward, he's still in on big-time guys with Caleb Love on campus, with Josh Christopher being in the conversation, with Cameron Fletcher. You know, these guys that he's been in on, that's been a good thing. Even if he hasn't got them, it's a good thing. Now, he will have to hit on some of those if he's going to continue to put the resources, the time, the energy, and the recruitment into that. But where this team's at, they can make an NCAA tournament this year. They have pieces to where they can do that. I feel confident in that. That can be the big step forward for this team, is to get back to that NCAA tournament, to be competitive in the SEC, because you have to build on success, right? You have the pieces in place, some blocks there. They have to take the necessary steps. Again, proof's in the pudding. We'll see what happens at the end of this year to see where this program's going to go. They could be a team that competes in the SEC, that can be a top five, top six team in the SEC, and compete to get into the NCAA tournament and beyond. Once you get in the tournament, who knows what can happen from there. This team could go to a Sweet 16, to an Elite Eight, we'll see. But it has to get back to the foundation of the program. It's the recruitment, it's the player development, it's the system you play, it's getting things organized offensively to have an identity on both the offensive and defensive end, and then you got to lay your mark as a team that's going to show mental toughness to close games out, to win games on the road, and then to protect the home turf at Mizzou Arena and make Mizzou Arena an environment that we all know it's capable of, right? The sellouts, the students getting back involved, all that will come when you show the fans, when you show the state that you're headed in that direction where we know this program can go. So it's a long-winded answer. I think long-term, 3 to 5 years, this team does have growth. You see the trajectory. You see where it really could get to. But there's so many things that do have to continue to take place for that to happen. But all in all, after 2 years and where we're at starting year three, I think Konzo's done a very good job. I think there's things that he knows that has to continue to get better from not just himself, but from the staff standpoint as well. They'll get there if they continue to stay the course and continue to really take this program to the next level in all phases.
Jared, I love you. You know that. I say this with love, but I think that the next non-long-winded answer that you give will be your first.
That's fair. I get thinking through, and I'm like, you know, there's a lot of thoughts that come up when I think about this program. But it's just been one of those things where people have asked me about, oh, you know, what do you think of Missouri basketball? It's been this negative connotation, right? It's fans that just sort of put the program into this negative mindset because, oh, they made the tournament 2 years ago. They didn't do much last year. I think fans are still somewhat, I think, a little bit lenient of what the program was even before Konzo got here. I still think that era of Kim Anderson, even going back to Frank Haith, it's not really on one person, But Konzo had a big job in front of him. And I think all intents and purposes and everything that's taken place, he's done a pretty solid job. And I'm really happy with him as the head coach. He's a perfect guy as far as just being a role model and his story, his passion. He's a great dude. There's no other way to say it. And I'm just pulling for him. I know a lot of our former guys are. So it's long-winded, but I'm pulling for Konzo. I really do think he's the guy that can really turn this program into something that's going to contend in the SEC and hopefully into the NCAA tournaments for years to come.
Yeah, I think the right word for maybe the casual fan is apathy, and that's one of the things that sort of permeated a lot of Missouri sports over maybe the last 6 years or so. If you sort of subtract out 2013 football team that had really big success and the 2012 basketball team that Frank Hayes' first year that I think really kind of captured a lot of people's interests, it's sort of kind of been steadily downhill from an interest standpoint, and I really think that both Barry Odom and Konzo Martin are guys that are doing everything that they can to sort of rebuild the brand of Missouri football and basketball. And I think it's close. I really do. Like, I think Missouri makes the NCAA tournament this year. And I think I don't necessarily know if they're going to be like a 5 seed or a 11 seed, but I think they're going to make it. And I think that Missouri football is a real opportunity to win, 9 games or 10 if they're fortunate, and that's sort of a record in both places where you can start to kind of see the build happening, and it's an important time for both those really prime revenue sports to kind of have men like Barry Odom and Konzo Martin in control and guys that are really excited to be there and excited for what they can build. So with that said, it is time for us to get out of here. As usual, you can always follow Jarrett and his shorter thoughts on Twitter because he's limited by characters. At Jarrett T. Sutton.
Not that long-winded.
At Jarrett T. Sutton on Twitter. All the T's, remember. I am Sam T. Snelling because I like to impersonate Jarrett as much as possible. And this has been an episode of Bench Minutes. Make sure you listen to The Fifth Down with Mitch Bennett. You've got Nate doing another episode of Before the Box Score this week. So we'll have all the podcasts coming your way. Another football game this weekend. Make sure you are subscribed to Rock M Radio Podcast. I still say Rock M Radio. Jarrett, it's not Rock M Radio anymore. It is Rock M Nation Podcast because we are part of the SB Nation Podcast family. So Rock M Nation Podcast, subscribe, rate, all that kind of stuff. And I will be back next week with another podcast. Probably not with Jarrett. We'll give him some time off. But until then, thanks for tuning in.